front of the door, it's Dave!
Who?
Dave! D-A-V-E!
Dave?
Right, man, Dave.
Dave's not here!
Hey everyone, it's Dave, and welcome to another edition of Just What Do You Think You're Doing, Dave? So on today's show, I wanted to talk about Donald Trump, and I know the guy is, you know, like, he's another lightning rod. He's in the news. Everybody talks about him. People love him. People hate him. Look, I don't like him. I'm going to be perfectly honest, but this is not about my like or dislike for him. I just wanted to present some thoughts about, you know, what's going on with him. And my thoughts about him go back to when he first wrote the book, or I guess someone else ghost wrote it for him, The Art of the Deal. And there was something about that book when I read it. I was in college at the time. And I'm reading the book and I'm thinking, there's something not right about this. You know, here's this guy. He's this braggadocio guy from New York who built an empire. And I'm like, wow, he's kind of interesting, sort of. But there's something off about the book. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like it's actually everything that you would expect it to be. It's about him, but it's very favorable about him. And as I kind of think about what he was writing and the things he was saying, you as you look back and you read through articles about him, and more recently, read through things about the book and the people that were engaged in the, you know, that were mentioned in the book, and he realized not everything was exactly true. It wasn't above board. It was more himself aggrandizing than it was reality. So you'd hear from people that didn't get paid, or people that, you know, weren't treated fairly, or were kind of screwed over in some way. Then you hear from the author of the book who says, yeah, it was kind of hyperbole. There wasn't really a lot in there that was, it was based on reality, but it was sort of a fictitious reality, you know, loosely based on it. So you kind of realize that it's not exactly what you think it is. Kind of interesting. Then you flash forward and he was in the TV show The Apprentice. And the first season was really good because it was about these people who were hardworking entrepreneurs who wanted to succeed. And you were learning about them and how they succeeded. You know, it was kind of that Shark Tank mindset where you learned about the person and how they built the business, or, you know, how you would build a business based on some of the things that were there. Trump was in it, but he was sort of a background character to the large degree until it came to the boardroom, and then you'd see him and it was kind of like blah, blah. And you could kind of toss it away. Later episodes changed that. He became the focal point of it all, and he became the, you know, the lightning rod. He would be there, and it was all about him instead of being about the contestants. And the contestants part was very short, and the boardroom part was very long, and, you know, his talking to them was very long, and it's like, this is not fun. You know, this is just him spouting off nonsense. It's not the same thing that it was. It's a very different sort of thing that we're looking at here. So when you realize that, it kind of changed the tenor of the show a little bit, and it wasn't as good a show as it originally seemed it was. I happened to work for a company that would send us to these motivational conferences once in a while. And a few times, he would appear as a guest talking in a motivational talk kind of thing, right? And you would be there and people would talk about whatever. There were really interesting people that got up and talked about their success in life, how to, you know, how they got rich in the stock market. I remember Colin Powell being one of the guest speakers, and he was really, really interesting. You know, so there were a lot of different people, and they had different things they talked about and how success worked for them. And they wove in personal stories, but it was about their success. Donald Trump, on the other hand, and he was never there in person, it was always on video, was always just about him, just like 100% about him, his life, what he thought about things. And it was just a very different way of looking at things when you saw what he was doing, because he wasn't interesting. He was just talking about himself and, like, self-promoting. And you realize he's not that interesting. He's not that deep. He's just talking about himself. And you kind of go, wow, that's kind of a weird thing. Anyway, you can set that aside. That is who he is. Don't care. He's a businessman, whatever. He can run his business however he wants to run it. And then comes 2015, and he decides he's going to run for the presidency. And it's weird. It's a strange sort of thing that he gets into, how he gets engaged, what he decides to do, and that sort of thing. And it feels like it's all about self-aggrandization. In my own personal opinion, it felt like he just wanted to fundraise and feel like he was special. I don't know, and I have no way of knowing this, that he actually wanted to win. He just wanted to feel special and have people laud him and give him money and, you know, sort of promote him in some way. And so he did, and he went through the campaign, and he went on the campaign trail, and he had rallies, and people cheered for him, and, you know, the cult of personality got out there in front of people and told them what they wanted to hear, and they cheered. And then at some point, when he was behind in the polls, he said something about, you know, maybe Russia will help me. He talked about secret hidden voters, you know, all these things that seemed like they were fanciful and whatever, and then winds up winning. Now, to me, it seemed unexpected, and I think to a lot of people it did too. The polling to this point in this country had always been really good about helping predict a winner, and this one wasn't particularly close. The polling suggested he was going to lose, but he won. And it could be the polling is wrong. Certainly that's, you know, that it was inaccurate, things had changed, whatever, that maybe the polling was not serving the same purpose. But it's also possible that something else happened behind the scenes. So for a period of time after the election, I followed along with a group that was doing a little investigation, if you will. Now, this was nothing like what you saw after the 2020 election, where people like were holding these public forums. This was just people looking at data to see if there was anything there. And there wasn't. But it was interesting to see, you know, some of the election results and what happened, because things just were different than you expected. And it is what it is. You know, I'm not big on conspiracy theories. I'm not big on holding on to something just because I believe it's to be true. These people looked, I looked, and there was nothing there. So perhaps there is something to it, but there is nothing absolutely to support it, so I let it go. I only mention it because it was an interesting little moment because of some of the things he had said leading up to it, and things came out differently. You know, it just feels like everything kind of aligned there in a way. But it didn't. So again, in the conspiracy theory sense, it doesn't matter because it didn't happen. That's the end of it. So anyway, move ahead. So he's in the Oval Office for the 4 years. And during the time, there's a lot of things that happen. There's things that you would be skeptical about if it were anyone else serving in the presidency, or if this were a different point in time. He was using the official seal for his profit, which is specifically forbidden by the U.S. code. He was promoting products from the Oval Office, which is specifically forbidden. He didn't move his company into a blind trust, which is also, that's not forbidden, but it is actually frowned upon, and there are rules around that. But as we've seen recently, rules don't really matter that way, right? It has to be codified into law, and even then, it doesn't necessarily matter. So you realize that there's more going on, right? There's something else happening there. This guy is causing trouble. You know, he has secret meetings with people. You know, we live in a country where everything's public or can become public. And he was, you know, not letting anybody take notes. He was tearing up pieces of paper when he was leaving. He was throwing things away. It's absurd when you think about it. There should be public records on these things, but he kept none of them. And it was just very strange how that all kind of came together, right? He would just throw away everything and move on. There was a whole thing about a couple of U.S. soldiers that were killed because of a Russian attack. It was a sort of an ambush attack. And he had the opportunity to call out Putin and chose not to, and basically said, oh, the guy's a good guy. There's no way he would have done this, right? This must be a lie, which essentially is acting as a traitor at that point, right? There's issues there. And so it seemed kind of weird. And it turns out that Congress, and to a point the Senate, were somewhat complicit in what he was doing. And they let a lot of things go unchecked, which is very odd for Congress overall to let things like that go. But then when the Democrats won a majority in the House again, they decided to proceed with some hearings on basically what happened during the 2016 election and some of the things that went on there. And they referred it all to the Attorney General, who then ignored it. But there were some things that were found in there that were really unsavory, unusual, things that were not right in terms of the way he carried himself during that election time. So maybe there was a little something to what this group was doing back in an earlier comment about looking into the 2016 election, because it was more happening there than you think. Right? It was very strange. And then came two impeachments against the sitting president. The first was after a House inquiry was looking into some of the things that happened related to this election, and the fact that he ignored subpoenas and there was a lot of other things happening in the background, they impeached him specifically for foreign interference, for soliciting help during an election cycle. And there were other related things, like when he tried to influence Ukraine into helping him in his presidential bid, and trying to discredit Joe Biden through some other means. So all of these things were enough to lead to impeachment from Congress. So Congress impeached him. It went to the Senate for review. The Senate declined to vote to indict him and remove him from power, which was an interesting thing because the evidence was overwhelming and there was a lot of things that seemed very strange in this report. But when you listen to what the senator said, you go, okay, maybe, because one of the things that Marco Rubio specifically said was, there's an election coming up in 2020. Let the voters decide Let's not let us do something that then influences voters. Let the voters decide what's right. And he's right, but he's very, very wrong. And that's not the way this works. He committed a crime. He was actually charged with the crime from Congress, and now it was time for them to convict him in the Senate, but they chose not to. They chose to just let it pass and let the people decide a few months later when the election comes around. It's like within a year, so we don't have to worry about it. And that's not outside the norm of what the GOP typically does. If you look at the way they handled the Merrick Garland nomination to Supreme Court, you realize what they did there was the same thing. It was the same playbook. Oh, look, we're not going to go ahead and put him in office now because we want that seat, and we're going to hold off confirming him until after the presidential election, until the people have spoken, right? It's the same thing. And then when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died and Amy Comey Barrett was put into office, into the Supreme Court, same thing. It was like, well, yeah, she died, but there's an election coming up and we want to make sure that we were putting the court back together before that election, blah, blah, blah. You know, it was just a bunch of nonsense that spouted by a group of people who want to retain power and are doing anything they can to do so. So what if Trump had won again in 2020? That would have been okay, right? That would have been just fine. And then there was the second impeachment against Donald Trump, and this one was much more serious. This one was about the incitement of insurrection that happened in 2021 after the 2020 election. So it's, you know, like a week or so before he's due to leave office. And it looks like, you know, he's lost. And there was the January 6th riot and, you know, this insurrection that happened. And it turns out that what they found was that he was the person most responsible for it, for his deeds and his words. The things that he said and did caused this to happen. Now, in this case, the vote on this one in the House was not strictly along party lines, or mostly along party lines. It was pretty predominantly that they wanted to impeach him for inciting a riot. Look, the people of Congress were scared for their lives, literally, because they were hiding in closets and whatever and being protected by the security that they had there. But there were people in there that wanted to literally hang them. They were saying, we're going to hang so-and-so. We're going to kill this person. We're going to kill Mike Pence for not going forward with our plan. That's unacceptable. That's un-American, and it is treason. So the charge is very serious, right? This is a big thing. So they impeached him, and went to the Senate again, and the Senate again declined to convict him, declined to actually hold him accountable for his actions. It was a very narrow margin. It was one of these things that just wasn't enough to make it happen, but it was enough. And again, the Senate's like, well, the election's already over. This is already taken care of. We don't want to blah, 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 blah. And that's nonsense. The guy committed a criminal act by his actions and his words. And that's not acceptable. That's not okay. So he was a twice impeached president. Now, I know there's been talk recently about some people wanting to basically unimpeach him now from Congress. Hey, we're going to expunge his record and just say he didn't do anything wrong. That's total crap. The fact is, he's a twice impeached president. I don't care what anybody says or what stupid vote they want to hold to try and, you know, remove accountability for anything. This is just dumb when you hear these things. So you realize the guy is not really a good guy. I mean, he's not there for everyone. Look, all these people got arrested for the January 6th insurrection, and they were tried in courts of law. They were convicted. Many of them are spending time in prison or have criminal convictions now on their record. I heard one guy being interviewed, and he goes, well, I can't get a job now. And one lady, oh, they've ruined my life. No, you ruined your own life by listening to this nonsense and going and making an incursion in the Capitol and committing treason effectively. Though you weren't held accountable for treason, a couple of people were along the way because they solicited material help, and actually overthrowing the government. A lot of people just got caught up in the rhetoric, and that's bad enough. And you will go to jail or have a criminal record because of that. Sorry, that's the way this works. And the thing is, he had an opportunity, if he wanted to pardon these people. He could have named them by name and pardoned them all before he left office. But he chose not to. Which is a really funny thing. It kind of shows you that he's not in it for anyone but himself. And then he continues to fundraise based on that, continues to collect money, continue to tell people I'm being, you know, falsely accused of things and, you know, the election was stolen from me and yada, yada, yada. And people are donating money to his cause, to his PAC or whatever it is that they're donating money to. The PACs are set up very specifically. There's legal ramifications to the PACs. The way they're set up, the money has to be used in campaign-related activities. He was actually taking money from these PACs, and it's been proven in several different courts of law at this point that he was taking money from the PACs and using it for himself, for his own legal defense, for things that he wanted to do, for things that, you know, weren't related specifically to his candidacy for anything, which is, again, in violation of federal law. And it's just, this is just crazy that, you know, everybody just says, yeah, okay, and people keep giving him money. There was the E. Jean Carroll suit where he was accused of raping her, but he was actually convicted of sexually assaulting her. And that's bad enough, right? But he had to pay her some money in damages. And some of the money, apparently, according again to some of these studies of where the money goes, came from some of these campaign contributions. So people were actually giving him money to pay off someone he sexually assaulted. That's crazy to me. And then there was the Stormy Daniels story that was going on, you know, the porn star who had sex with him through some business dealings and whatever, and he had paid her off before he took office, but he had used, again, some of his campaign funds to pay for that, and it was just a very silly and ridiculous way he was moving money around. You know, Michael Cohen had the goods on that one and was able to give up some information about how the money moved. So it's kind of a crazy thing when you think about it. You know, all these things were going on that have nothing to do with the presidency, but yet really speak to who he is as a person and the things he does. So here we are in 2023 now. All of that stuff is in the past, right? But he's still fundraising. He's still out on the campaign trail. He's still technically a free man and can still run for president again. And people still love him. And I don't understand that. You know, you look at all this stuff and you could say, oh, he's being railroaded. He's being falsely accused of things. But all of these things were tried out in courts of law. All of these things went through the process, due process. It wasn't just, I'm saying this didn't happen, therefore it didn't happen, right? These were actually tried in a court of law with facts and evidence and so forth. You know, kind of like the idea of the 2020 election being rigged and no one being able to prove a single point in a court of law, right? You can, in the court of public opinion, maybe you make your point, but in the court of law where you have to produce evidence and there's discovery and there's things that happen, no chance. So anyway, he's running for office again, and he's got lawsuits against him. And I think that's the current count is 6 lawsuits that are going on against him while he's running for office, which is just crazy. And again, you can say, oh, well, you know, he's just being charged with things, blah, 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 because, you know, he's a political target. But these are in different courts, in different states, in different places, and really have nothing to do with each other. So how would someone have this many cases against them that are being trumped up in some way? And I use the word in a funny way, haha. So let's just take a quick run through them. We have the Truth Social Media deal, the Digital World Acquisition Corp's acquisition of Trump's social media Truth Firm. The SEC is investigating how that happened because there were some malfeasance that happened in the financial statements and what was done there, that there was probably some irregularities and something that happened there. Remember that Truth Social was something that Trump cooked up, and it's his, and, you know, he was responsible for it. So there's something weird going on there. You have the New York Attorney General civil lawsuit where Letitia James sued Trump and his family business, the Trump Organization, alleging fraud. You have the sexual abuse and defamation civil lawsuits. There's 2 of them. They both involve E. Jean Carroll continuing on that particular case where she was sexually assaulted. And it's 2 more cases that are going on. It's really strange. One of them is an appeal. She's looking for more money. And then there's the second part to it because he continued to assault her after the case was heard and adjudicated. He continued to harass her and assault her through his going on different networks, going on to his Truth Media platform and saying the things about her. Right, so she's continuing to sue him, and it's a continuous thing because he doesn't let up. This is the time when he should have just shut up. There's the New York hush money criminal case. This is related to the Stormy Daniels one. That there's still another case pending on that one. How that money changed hands. It came from election money, so there's some investigation in this, and because it happened in New York, it's happening in the New York court. There's, of course, the federal case and the illegal retention of documents that he took to Mar-a-Lago. And the fact is here, the reality is here, when you see the pictures, you realize he was taking cases of documents that he had left out in plain view at Mar-a-Lago, so anyone who was visiting there theoretically could have seen anything. And he's accused of having talked about these documents and showing them to people as sort of a, you know, proud moment. Look at me, look at what I have, I'm special, right? It's that sort of thing where, you know, things were just really strange there. And he had people moving the documents around back and forth to try to hide them from people. There's a lot of things that happened there. He had an opportunity to settle this one with the federal, I guess it's the National Records Archive. They offered him an opportunity to settle and be done with it. But he chose not to, and chose to hide more documents, and so there, you know, he's been charged with a crime there. And where that goes from here, because it's in front of a judge that likes him and was appointed by him, who knows? But the reality is, it's another thing that'll be ongoing. And I have to imagine that Jack Smith, he's a really smart guy. He was most recently serving in The Hague and came to back to this country to look into a couple of cases that are, as a special prosecutor, and has no skin in the game in that sense. This is about him looking at it sort of from the outside. This is a really smart hire by Merrick Garland. Give him free rein, let him see what he sees, because there's something going on here. So the case is ongoing, and like I said, I don't know what's going to happen, but I have to imagine that Jack Smith is smart enough to figure out what he can do next, depending on what the judge decides in any moment in the case, and for any motion or anything. Then you have the Georgia election tampering criminal probe that's ongoing, where he called and he asked the governor and the state elections supervisor to find him exactly the right number of votes that he could win. It wasn't a round number. It was like, I don't know, the number was 11,384 votes or something like that. And he asked for 11,384. He didn't ask for 12,000. He didn't ask for anything else. He just asked him to find that many. And it was clear what he was doing was he was actually trying to tamper with the election results and get someone to declare him the winner. So there's a probe into that. There's been grand juries impaneled. And it looks like, potentially, there could be some indictments that come down from that. And it's very serious. Election tampering is something that should be taken seriously. And he asked a judge to not only throw out the case, he asked a judge to actually destroy the evidence and remove the person who's investigating him because they're not very nice. And I'm sorry, what? And the Supreme Court from Georgia came back, and within 24 hours, business hours, came back and said, sorry, dude, that's not happening. We're dismissing this case with prejudice, which means it can't be brought again, because you provided no substantial evidence to why this needs to be done this way. There's nothing in there that sounds like there's any anything that's been done incorrectly. It's just insane. And then finally, there's the 2020 election and the U.S. Capitol attack, the insurrection, that he was behind it. Again, his actions and his deeds, the reason that Congress impeached him the second time. The same special prosecutor, Jack Smith, was looking into all the documents that were provided for that, had more grand jury testimony, had more people come in and testify about what was going on, and sent a legal notice to Trump to let him know that he was the target of a probe, which, of course, emboldens him. Oh, they're saying I'm a target. Well, this is just, you know, more people trying to tell me that I'm bad and, you know, trying to railroad me in some way. This is just, you know, Biden acting out. And sorry, dude, this is a very serious crime. This is treason adjacent. You're a traitor to this country when you tried to overthrow the government. There was a free and fair election. You lost. You incited people to go in and attack the U.S. Capitol and try to overthrow the government, to actually kill people who were voting against you. And there was a whole fake elector scheme that he was in on, apparently, according to the records that have been produced so far that we've seen. And having seen that there were fake electors being charged in several states and the fake elector scheme has been uncovered in those states, makes you think that there's more to this, right? There's more going on than meets the eye. And that's really what it all comes down to. You realize that this is all very, very bad. He's done some things that really aren't so savory. They're not good things. He's not a good person, and there's no reason that anyone should be supporting him at this point. People should certainly not be sending him money. People should not be trying to defend his actions. Oh, this is just, you know, some people trying to get even with him, blah, blah, blah. It's not that simple. It really isn't that simple anymore. It's become much more complicated, and you realize that there's much more going on, and this guy really is trouble. And he should not be allowed to run for president. Frankly, he should be barred from holding public office. And, you know, if all these, if some of these charges are true, some of these things that go on, he might serve jail time. This, you know, it's a possibility that there's something going on there that would actually put him behind bars. And this is not, you know, all of these things are ongoing during the election. And it's got to be really complicated to run your, you know, your campaign when you're having to commit yourself to trial dates in six different trials. Six, seven, how many was that? Different trials that you've got to go to, and you've got to appear in court. You have the right to be there for any part of your trial, so they all got to schedule up accordingly, but they will all fill up his calendars, right? He will have very little time to go out on the campaign trail unless he chooses to and just say, screw this, I'm not going to appear, right? Which is certainly a possibility, and just say, oh, they're railroading me. Pay attention to facts. Facts matter. When you hear these things and you think about all of the things that are going on and someone tells you, well, he's not guilty of anything, he didn't do anything wrong, think very carefully about what they tell you. And I would broaden that to anything outside of this too, anything that people say, where you hear people saying, oh, you know, it is blah, 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 think carefully about the words they're using, because sometimes it's all just nonsense. Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and remember, if we can dream it, we can always do it. Bye now.
What's your point, David?